Good morning, I'm Howard Hale. Thanks for joining me for today's edition of the Horseman's Corner. On the second half of today's program, we're going to be talking with Rich Scott. He's a Byers, Colorado horseman that's going to be at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo this year, doing some demonstrations over there. And for the first half of the program, co-host is Marty Martin, and I'm going to let Marty introduce our first guest. Would you do that?
Today we have as our guest Emily Johnson, who was living in Colorado, but she has since moved to Omaha, Nebraska.
So she got smart and moved out of Colorado and moved to Nebraska, huh?
I guess so. You know, Emily, could you tell us what did take you to Nebraska, Omaha?
Yeah, I can, you know. And good morning to you both, Marty and Howard. It's a treat to be here again. I think we did this actually about a year ago when I was on the brink of moving to Nebraska. I've since been here just a little over a year. And I get asked that question a lot. Well, I moved from Front Range, Colorado, out here to Nebraska. My husband took a job out here. He's involved in the residency program at UNMC here in Omaha. And so that is what brought us out here. And we are now happily settled and enjoying the friendliness of the Midwest people. That's hands down my favorite thing about being out here.
Yeah, there are a bunch of friendly people there in the Omaha area, aren't there?
There are, yeah. You know, and we had heard that in moving out here is the Midwest is so friendly. And I had thought, well, I mean, isn't friendly friendly? I know friendly. Nope, it's a different deal out here. People are just really present and connected, and there's just a nice easefulness to life, and I really enjoyed that.
Okay, have you found a good place to work out of and train some horses?
I have, yeah. I'm out of a real nice facility just north of Omaha called Five Star Stables. It's in Bennington, and one of my big draws there was it has just fantastic year-round riding with a terrifically sized heated indoor arena. So you can't, as any horse lover knows, that's kind of the top of the top in terms of the dream with horses is to be able to get indoors, stay warm, out of the elements. So it's a nice facility, has acreage, has trails. This past fall, I was able to design and build an extreme trail course out there. So we now have 50 obstacles set up over 50 acres for the purpose of educating horse and rider towards better relationships.
Well, that sounds like a heck of a deal. Why don't you talk to her about that, Marty?
Well, that's very interesting, Emily. You kind of explain in a few words what the purpose is of those obstacles. What could you explain what one or two or three of those obstacles are?
Yeah, we probably don't have time to visit on all 50, although, boy, there's some fun things out there. so the design or the concept behind developing these obstacles is it's a great way to engage a horse's mind and emotions and physical body, which I think we can agree we want to do anytime we train, but in ways that have the horse outside of the arena that presents different challenges, requires different physical movements, physicality over uneven ground, etc. So a few of the obstacles we have, a water crossing section, some parts of it that are really good for introducing a horse to a green horse or a green handler. And then we have some more advanced sections. We have a boulder maze, which is what it sounds like. I would say maybe 75 big boulders and rocks of varying size that a horse has to navigate their way through, learn how to think, where to place their feet. A rider or handler from the ground has to learn how to properly direct that horse. We have things horses need to go under, over, on, through, between, just a whole spectrum of obstacles designed to stimulate their mind, engage their emotions, all the while helping us practicing getting down to the horse's feet in a positive way, a way that's good for both horse and human.
Sounds really good, Emily. Really good.
Do you have any natural obstacles there that you can utilize?
I would say about 90% of the course is naturally based, meaning we took the terrain that was there, whether that was a slope or a hill, and would incorporate the obstacle within it. We have hills that we dug ravines through the center of, so there'll be a narrow ravine. The horse has to kind of drop down and through. That can be troubling to some horses to kind of feel the walls on either side of them. I went around the ranch and kind of the back part of property and collected all the downed timbers, just naturally downed logs, and I drug them all into one area. So now we have the timber path whereby you have a road ahead of you of crisscrossed log irregularly placed. So, yeah, just real neat opportunities for horses to need to engage and think their way through things.
That is really excellent, Emily. It engages their mind, and it really does the same for the rider, doesn't it?
Sure does, yeah. You know, a real valuable skill for a horseman or a horsewoman to learn is the ability to think and plan ahead, mm-hmm. and then how do we communicate that to our horse and down to the horse's feet. And obstacles sure let you find out whether indeed you are thinking and planning ahead or whether we are not thinking and planning ahead.
Yeah.
The feedback's pretty clear on that.
If people go through that, they're ready for some pretty challenging trail rides then.
They are, and that's a good point you bring up. By no means is that the place I begin with horse and students, or student, whether that be horse or human, I should say. We're all students learning this a little bit together. I've been a big proponent of starting relationships, both the horses and humans' education, on the ground, and so we'll do groundwork typically begun in the arena. You know, sometimes it's a big enough obstacle just for a new handler to have a lead rope, halter, much less a horse on the end of it. And so we'll begin by building confidence and understanding that way. But then pretty quickly I start to build in some groundwork with obstacles comparable to what Marty and his wife Jody at their ranch have an awesome obstacle course set up, both in their arena and pasture, and do a lot of horse handling with the obstacles. And then once those skills have been developed, both on the ground, safely, we take it over to developing the skills you need on their back to be able to ride out safely, whether that be balance in the saddle, knowledge of the aids and steering, proper use of an emergency stop, and how to, you know, ride your horse and support them, not if they get a little troubled, but when they get a little troubled. Every horse at some point finds their trouble spot. And then we take that conversation down to the trail course, and the sky is the limit in terms of fun and potential and opportunity for growth and understanding. But oftentimes, you know, riders think that that's where they'll begin. Oh, I just got a horse. The dream is taking them down the trail, going over jumps, riding through creeks. And oftentimes people find that the reality doesn't always match the dream initially. It sure can, but we have to have the prior and proper preparation in place first. And then by all means, as we all know, horses sure are a ride off into the sunset kind of experience.
Well, how about the people there in Omaha? This is a new environment for you. You've been over in you were over in Colorado. Reception been good from clients there?
Yeah, it has been. It's the Omaha area in particular has been a slightly different community than where I came from in Colorado, which is a little more kind of the Western natural horsemanship base. I found that there's a lot more hunter and jumper focus. Here specifically in Omaha, out in Lincoln, a little bit more dressage focused. That actually getting a little bit more closely linked to the dressage community has been a huge treat for me, because I am such an advocate and involved in the new discipline of Western dressage. So it has been a different community out here, but they've been very open and, in fact, very excited for some of the opportunities to cross-train and, you know, come to think and understand their horse in a different way. Anyone who owns a horse, at times, the horse can do things that can seem perplexing to us or cause some uncertainty. And when we can simply learn how to think a little bit more how they think and see the world a little bit more how they see it, all of a sudden things maybe aren't quite the same mystery. And so we, meaning myself and some of the horse community out here, have had a lot of fun dialoguing about some of that and playing with horses in some new ways to get some new results. That's been real positive.
I don't care whether you're talking about the dressage horse or the hunter jumper, if they can go out challenge their mind a little bit, do something a little bit different, and go through that obstacle course that you've got laid out on the 50 acres, that's good for them, isn't it?
It's dang good for them. You know, it really is. It's good for them mentally. It's good for them emotionally to feel engaged and positive. I don't think there's any species, whether horse or human, that doesn't, at the end of the day, feel good about having accomplished something and feeling positive about it. So I'm a big proponent of letting a horse be a horse, and that means, you know, getting them outside of the box stall, getting them outside of the arena, you know, go see some land, put some things in front of them. Now, again, that's got to be set up for success. I'm not suggesting if a horse has never, horse and rider have never been out of the arena, just go open the gates and frolic off. One party might frolic, but the other may not frolic with them. So I'm a proponent of mutually beneficial frolicking, and that takes some preparation, but is by all means possible and sure is beneficial to every horse and every rider out there. It makes us better horsemen and horsewomen to be effective in the arena as we are outside of the arena.
Time for us to take a break, but let's do that, and we'll be back with more from Emily Johnson in just a moment. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner.
Brighton Feed and Saddlery doesn't sell cheap saddles. We simply have a saddle to fit every dimension of your life, from very inexpensive used saddles to saddles that are gallery-worthy works of art. Powder River and McCall are two of our unique brands that fit the professional competitor, the everyday working cowboy, and the serious trail rider. Check us out on your way to the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo and check in with us at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo, the most unique horse event in this entire region. At the Horse Expo, Brighton Saddlery will be featuring Powder River saddles, Briar collectible horses and toys, and this horse, pet, and show animal clippers, plus the complete line of 707 equine supplements by the John Ewing Company. Made right here in Colorado for over 50 years, 707 represents the highest quality total line of horse health support products found anywhere in the world. Stop by the Brighton Saddlery store at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo and find out more about these amazing products. Brighton Feed and Saddlery, 800-237-0721 or brightonsaddlery.com.